Well, good morning, dear friends, and welcome to our Wednesday edition of Good Morning Live. It took me a second because I was trying to think about when the countdown was happening, what day of the week it is. I don't know if anybody else has have a week like that where you're like, wait, what day is it? Where am I at? What is happening? Right? But it is Wednesday. What is it? June 24th, I think. But welcome to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be with you this morning. I always look forward to these times together. And just as a reminder, if you're watching on a platform that you can like, comment, or share, let me know that you're watching with us today. Like the stream and go ahead and share it out to your friends as we continue to build this online community and watch what God is doing through Good Morning Live. Amen. So I want to look a little bit today on a topic that I don't know very many people that don't struggle with, me being the chief of those. I want to talk just a little bit today about learning to wait on the Lord. And I know some of you already are like, nope, I don't want to hear about waiting on God. But the fact of the matter is, waiting is a common struggle in life. Like, come on, I hate waiting rooms. I hate waiting in traffic. I hate waiting for prayers to be answered. Like, nobody enjoys waiting. But in Scripture, God often uses seasons of waiting to shape, prepare, and strengthen His people. So what I have discovered and am discovering and trying to grow in is that even in the seasons of waiting, if I allow God to use those seasons of waiting, they will always be for my benefit. And if I don't lean in, if you will, to the seasons of waiting and I resist and I'm, you know, my attitude's all bad and I'm mumbling and I'm complaining and I'm just, you know, I'm a mess with the whole situation. Typically, I find that it extends the seasons of waiting, but it also limits God's ability to shape and prepare me for what is coming. And one of the foundational truths that I'll just say right from the top, and I heard this said to me years ago by Pastor Angie Meisel. She said, God always makes the man or woman, makes the man before he makes the ministry. And I think that was so good and foundational that God always, God's heart isn't necessarily on, how do I word it? The outcome, if you will, it's not about getting there, but who you are and who you are becoming in getting there, right? Like we understand that one point in time, this whole world will cease to exist. God's going to create a new heaven and earth. But what is going to remain? Not an earthly ministry, not an earthly business, not an earthly anything, right? But our spirit is going to remain, right? Like who we are and who we've developed and our character, those are the things that are going to remain. So while God uses earthly things, right? Calls and mantles and ministries and assignments and roles and anointings and all of that stuff to help us enforce the kingdom of God, I believe God's more worried about who you are in the process to walking out that journey than he is worried about you getting to the destination. Let me prove it to you in Scripture. Hey, Sue, good to see you. Good morning, Denise. And again, I know we've been talking about him a lot this week, but again, look at the Israelites. What would have been an 11-day journey to get from Egypt to the promised land, 11 days, right? Because of the condition of Israel's heart, God looked at them and said, you know what? You can't go into the promised land. Why? Because of the condition of your heart, right? So he was less focused on just saying, all right, yep, my people are in the promised land. Great, they're there. We did it, right? No. He was less focused on them entering the promised land as he was who they were and going and who they were going to be when they got there. Right. So there's that old saying about does the end justify the means? Like, you know, do whatever you got to do just to get there. Do whatever you got to do to just be that person, or just to, you know, have that image or get the likes or gain the success or have the promotion, just do whatever you got to do. But God said, no, I'm not worried about what title you hold. I'm worried about the character of your heart that is being developed in you becoming the leader that I want you to be. How many of you know having a title and a position doesn't equate to being a righteous person or a godly person? Come on, we've all had a boss, or we've all had somebody over us that you're wondering, how in the world did they get this title? How in the world did they get promoted? How in the world do they have this status of life, and they are mean, ugly, miserable people, right? And so God is saying, listen, I'm not worried about what title you hold. I'm worried about your heart, and I'm worried about the condition of your heart, and I'm worried about your attitude, and I'm worried about your character. Because often if our character isn't in alignment with the call that's on our lives, we'll never be able to withstand that larger place, that larger platform when we arrive. So what am I saying all that for? What I'm saying is, so what God often does, he does it exactly. Hey, good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you. He does for us exactly what he did for the Israelites. When he said, yep, there's a land flowing with milk and honey. Yep, there's a title. Yep, there's position. Yep, there's a destiny over here. But what I have to do is I have to make sure your heart is right before you ever can walk into that. So what did he do? He made them wait. He said, I could get you there in 11 days with the right heart. And that's why this is so important, of learning in the waiting, because he could have made them wait 12 days. All they had to do was repent as a nation and turn their attitude around. But it took 40 years, and the majority of the, besides a few who had a good report, the whole generation had to die out because their attitude and their heart was so wrong. So what I'm saying is, so when you find yourself in a holding pattern or in a waiting season, or in a season where it's like, God, but you made the promise, and I'll do whatever I got to do. I'll cut people down. I'll do whatever I got to do to get there. God is saying, listen, I've put you in a holding pattern because I'm trying to shape you. I'm trying to prepare you, and I'm trying to strengthen you. And whenever I find myself in a holding pattern, I say, all right, God, I can't do anything to move this along. I mean, I could in the natural, but usually when you start doing stuff in the natural, it just amplifies and reveals that your heart's still wrong in the matter. Like, look at Abraham and Sarah, like, right? Like, the fact that God had them in a holding pattern, and he got tired of the holding pattern, and so he took matters into his own hands, just prophesied the condition of his heart still wasn't right. You know, so I just learned it never benefits me to try to get involved in it myself. So if I'm waiting on God, then I'm just waiting on God. And what I can do in those moments is I can lean in and I can say, okay, God, utilize this holding pattern, utilize this season of waiting, if you will, to better me, to shape me, reveal hidden things of my heart, prepare me, make me the best possible version of myself. Like I heard a pastor say this once, talking about, you know, people who are single and so desperately are waiting for their spouse, and, you know, all they want is to be married. I was talking with a young adult the other day, and he was sharing, he's in that season of life, and he's in a young adults group at a church, and he was saying that, you know, kind of there's one thing on everybody's mind there, if you will, is are they the one? Are they the one? And I shared with him a story. I remember when I was in my early 20s going to a church group that, you know, for 20-something year olds. And the leader said, hey, well, let me ask you a question. Why are we all here? And some girl from the back yelled out, to find our spouse. And the whole room erupted in laughter because And the leader laughed, and he said, well, I was more looking for an answer like to grow in God. But her clarity was spot on, because most of us 20-somethings were all there because we were single and looking for our potential spouse, right? But I heard a minister years ago say, you know, instead of focusing and spending your energy on? Are they the one? Are they the one? And hopping from this young adults group and that young adults group and trying to find, you know, you got your list. I want them so tall. I want this color hair, blah, blah, blah. Focus on, in this season, making yourself the catch, right? Instead of looking for the catch, right? Get up off the couch, get yourself in shape. Come on, you know, get your finances in order. Sarah and I got married, and neither of us were coming into the relationship with a ton of money, I'll tell you that. And we were planning our wedding and, you know, going through all of that. And one of her friends had made a comment, not necessarily about us, but just in her dating. And, she wanted this big extravagant wedding and all of this. And she made a comment to Sarah about, well, if they don't have money for a wedding, they don't have money for life. And we laughed about it at the time because we're like, well, we got to cut back over here and cut back over here. And so sometimes, you know, through our marriage, if we get into a tighter season financially, I said, listen, you should have listened to your friend. She told you if they don't have money for a wedding, they don't have money for life. You didn't take the wisdom, right? And not that that's necessarily true, right? But we still laugh about it. But the theory and what I'm trying to say behind it is we put so much emphasis on looking for that catch, putting it on the other person instead of stopping and saying, well, what am I bringing to the table? Am I right? You know, am I sound? Am I emotionally in check? Am I, you know, what baggage am I bringing to my future relationships? That instead of putting the emphasis on searching for that right person and searching for, the qualifications and do they have it and do they have it? What if I spent this waiting season and stop looking at what everybody else is bringing to the table, but spent that time investing it back into me, dealing with my own junk, dealing with my own baggage, my own relationship hangups, my own whatever, man. And instead of waiting for the catch, I'm becoming the catch, right? And I know I'm using that in the realm of relationships, but really, we can do that across the board. Instead of waiting, you know, hey, why the company didn't promote me and this is a crooked and company and they'll never see my potential. Listen, if you're in a waiting pattern, then use that season of waiting. Take an extra course. Take a management course on the side, right? You can find all kinds of stuff online. Get a certificate in that. Invest back into yourself. Invest into that future. And listen, all you're doing is you're saying, God, if I'm in the waiting pattern, then I'm going to use this waiting season to study, to develop, to be better, to pour back into me the best that I can. And if this company doesn't eventually see the value, then Lord, then I believe you're open another door. But what I've done is instead of spending a season mumbling and complaining and griping and, you know, putting down everybody else because they overlooked me, they never saw me, they don't value me. All right, if I'm in a waiting season and I can't change the waiting, then what I can do is I can start bettering me, focusing in on me, growing me, dealing with my junk, becoming the best leader that I can be. Why? So that when the door does open, come on, instead of spending, you know, 5 years grumbling and complaining, and now I'm trying to walk through, you know, an open door with all this baggage and all this junk and trying to learn. And no, listen, I've already dealt with that. I've already strengthened myself. I've already studied the course. You following what I'm saying today? So when you're in a waiting season, and I think in some areas of our lives, we're probably in a waiting season somewhere, waiting for the healing, waiting for the breakthrough, waiting for the manifestation, waiting for the turnaround, right? And in those seasons, it's like, if I can't physically do anything to make God hurry up, right? Then what I can do, and I've said this before, but I can start to, and I'm careful of how I say this because I know on the surface it sounds strange, but be the answer to my own prayers. And you might say, well, we don't answer prayer. God does. Well, yes and no. Because when we're praying, here's what I've often found. Oftentimes, we are asking God to do what he has empowered us to do, but that we don't want to do. Wait, hang with me. God, I want to be, you know, CEO. I want to be in charge. I want to be a leader of a company. No degree, no education to support it, no experience to support it. You're still short-tempered. You still have an attitude problem. You still have a hard time interacting with people. But God, elevate me. All right. So what we're really asking God to do is what we don't want to do, which is study, take the course, grow in our love for people, you know, learn people's skill, all of that stuff that would elevate you naturally, promote you naturally, benefit you in those positions. We're saying, well, God, I don't want that. So just open a door for me real quick so I can walk into it. Right? So what I have often found is a lot of times we pray and ask God to do what he's told us to do. But really, what we should be praying for is not what we can do, is what we cannot do that only God can do. Like, God, I've done everything in my power to do, and I need you now to do this. I need you to, you know, and I've been open about this. You know, I'm trying to eat a little better and getting in better shape, you know, for the second half of my life. And just yesterday I was driving by, and I don't know who's making the billboard signs on along Route 30 here for Lancaster General Hospital, but they're doing a great job. And I forget the exact wording of it, but it said something like, had somebody on a treadmill or something, and it said fighting disease from the inside out. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I need to start exercising more. But it was simple, but it was powerful that exercise and physical activity is literally fighting disease from the inside out. Like, and so again, I'm just putting this in perspective, but make it apply to any area of your life. If, you know, if you need a healing in your body that only God can do, we ask God for that and we trust God for that. But if we're not doing our part, making changes, making better decisions, being more active, then what we're really saying is, God, I want to sit on the couch and I want to do nothing and I want to, you know, eat what I want to eat and do what I want to do, but would you bring healing into my life? I don't want to go through physical therapy. I don't want to do any hard work. Just make it a miracle. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm going to do the work. Would you be with me in the work? Would you lead and guide me and strengthen me in the work? And then when I need doors open and I'm at the end of myself and I've done everything and I still need more, would you make up the difference? Listen, I believe that that's the kind of miracle that God gets involved in. Think of Nehemiah rebuilding the wall. They had an impossible task. They had to rebuild the wall in a time span that was impossible for them to do. But what they didn't do is they didn't sit down and put their lawn chairs up and say, well, God, rebuild. Do a miracle. Have at it, God. We're going to see this turnaround happen. No. They started building. They got block. They got their scaffolding and their ladders, and they built day and night. So much so that even when people were coming against them to war, they didn't even come down to fight. They had a sword in one hand and kept building in the other hand. And God supernaturally, as a result of their work and labor, they brought something to the table. Think of, we talked yesterday about the five loaves and the two fishes. Like, again, they could have sat back and said, well, I mean, if God wants to feed people, I mean, he made manna come down before, then just let manna come down now. And could God do it? Sure, God could do it. But what was he looking for? He was looking for a little boy to offer up what he had. And God took what he had and blessed his efforts and blessed what he had. And God made up the difference. Are you with me today? So the same as Nehemiah on the wall. They didn't have the staff. They didn't have the manpower. They didn't have necessarily the resource to rebuild the wall in the time frame that they had. But when they got busy utilizing what they had, God stepped in and made up the difference. So whenever we find ourselves in a holding pattern, in a waiting season, that's not the time to draw back and say, well, you know, when God wants to do it, he'll do it. That's the time we lean in. That's the time we get more education. That's the time that, you know, whatever it is that we can do, Like, well, I'm believing God for financial turnaround. All right. Well, until that comes, until that open door, until the raise, until the check in the mail, what do we do in this season? Well, we start a budget. We cut expenses. We be conservative. You know, all of those. Do you understand what I'm saying? But instead, we just want to say, well, God, let me just do what I want to do. And can't you just fix it all? But here's the thing about that. That doesn't take faith. That's laziness. Faith says, I'm going to do everything. Because what does the Bible says? Faith without works is dead. Now, some people, you know, we know that faith isn't work. So some people will say, well, if God's going to do it, I don't have to do anything. I'll just sit back and wait for it to happen. Well, faith without works, faith without activity is dead. I've been trying to teach my kids. It's been like the recurring theme of this summer. Remember how we did a live talking about having an intentional summer? And it's becoming intentional, but in different ways. I've been trying to teach my kids about taking personal responsibility for your actions. You did this. And the scope of a day in our house, there's multiple dramas and multiple crises. And I've been trying to stop and say, okay, I understand they did that to you. But now you are being punished, not because of what they did to you, but because of how you responded to that. Because in that moment, you have a choice. You can hit them back. You can call them a name. Or you can come tell mom and dad. Or, you know, there's you can choose your response here. And because you chose the wrong response, that's why you're being punished, not because of what that, you know. So we're trying to like teach our kids, like, come on, take some personal responsibility here. Understand that this is happening to you, not because of what somebody else did, but because of what you did. And I'm preaching to somebody out there. I'm preaching to me today. The Israelites weren't held for 40 years in the wilderness because of what somebody else did to them. They did have a martyrdom spirit about them, which said, well, we're here because we were poor slaves. We're just slaves. You know, we have no home. God, you know, Moses brought us out here to the wilderness, and it's just been hot and it's been hard and it's been difficult. And he just brought us out here to die. And they struggled getting out of the martyrdom spirit. But the reality was God could have sent them into their promised land within 11 days. They could have walked into their land of promise, but it wasn't about God's inability to bring them into the promise. It was about their lack of taking responsibility and recognizing they are where they are. Sarah used to say this all the time to us. You are, and when we got married, you are where you are because of the decisions that you made. And come on, until we step up and say, you know what, I am where I am because of the decisions that I made. So if I'm in a holding pattern, if I'm in a waiting season and I'm waiting on God to open doors, what can I do here? I can either keep playing victim and keep saying, well, my fault, I did this, you know, or everybody else did this to me. This is why I am where I am. This is why it's so hard, you know. Or I can step up and say, you know what? I may have made some bad decisions that got me here. But until God opens the door to get me out of here, I'm going to today start making better decisions, right decisions, life-changing decisions. They're not going to all be great. They're not going to all be comfortable. It's going to be hard work. It's going to be a pain in the butt. It's going to take every ounce of effort. And when I begin to do that, see, that's when I believe that God looks down and says, okay, all right, they're serious about this now. They're really into this. All right, I can work with that. Like, you know, we talk about church culture and Lord, we want revival. Give us revival. Give us revival. We want revival. We want revival. We want to see it in our land. We want to see it happen. We want to see it. No, we don't. Again, that's lip service to God, but we call a prayer meeting. But, you know, who's showing up? Not the ones who are calling me all week long saying, well, we need to see more of God move in our service. All right, well, come to prayer. Well, you know, I don't know, Pastor, I don't, you know, all the problems within the life of the church. And I will not hear a complaint from somebody who is not volunteering and not giving in the life of our church. Because I just feel like if you have any opinion about our church, but you are not actively volunteering and not actively giving, you have no skin in the game and therefore you have no say. So that's like a ground, like I will not hear you. I'll shut that down real quick because you, where you have no authority, your opinion doesn't matter, right? So I don't remember why I was saying all that. Maybe, I don't know. But when we're in these holding and waiting patterns, we have to be very careful that we're not pushing, playing a martyr, pushing the blame on everybody else. This is the reason, everybody else's fault. But let you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter why you are where you are. It's where you are. Let's make better decisions to get out of where we are. I remember what I was saying, all that talk about revival. But again, we offer this lip service of saying, God, I want revival. Send us revival. Turn our nation. But the Bible says, listen, to those who will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land. So again, the lack of healing on a nation or on a land or on a house or on a church or on a community isn't the inability of God to make it happen, isn't a lack of his desire to make it happen. It's the lack of his people putting in the effort that he said it would take on their part to make it happen. Well, God, give us revival, but make sure service doesn't go over an hour and 15 minutes. God, give us revival, but you know, I still have my summer plans and activities. And as long as that's good, then you following what I'm saying? We want revival. Revival should equal a massive influx of new believers. Well, can we handle a massive influx of new believers? Who's going to mentor them? Who's going to guide them in the faith and help them develop in spiritual giftings? Who's going to be there when their lives are, you know, falling apart because they don't know biblical principles and how to stand? Who's going to be there through those 1 a.m. calls trying to mentor people? And are you? Am I? And I'm not saying that we wouldn't, but you understand what I'm saying is that's why the Bible says who builds a tower but doesn't first sit and consider the cost. God, I want to be married. I want kids. I want relationship. All right. Well, you got to get that temper under control. You got to deal with that anger problem. You got to get your finances. There's some things on your part that you got to make happen and bring to the table here. So I'm saying all of this to say is when we find ourselves in a waiting pattern in a season of life, we have two options. Be angry, blame God, blame everybody else, throw pity parties, and stay there, which will prolong this season. Or identify what got us here, but don't hang there. And begin to make better decisions based off of where we want to go, the type of person we want to be, based off the call of God that's on our lives, and start making decisions that lean us towards that future. I want healing in my body. God, what do I need to do? Do I need to fast? All right. Am I praying? Am I doing everything I can physically do to bring about that change in my life? And when I've done that, and I still need the healing to manifest in my body, it still hasn't turned around, then I believe I can look to God and say, I have done everything. I need you to do what only you can do. Stop asking God to do what you are not willing to do. Stop asking God to do what you're not willing to get involved in. Stop asking God to bless your church, but you won't volunteer or give into your church. Stop asking God to bless your family, but you won't sit and verbally bless your children and bless your family and teach them the word of God. Didn't mean to step on some toes there. But listen, waiting has its benefits. Isaiah 40, 31, the classic scripture. But those who wait on the Lord, what will they do? Listen, they will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is it? Those who are waiting, when you're waiting on God, what does that activity look like? Betterment. It doesn't say those who wait on the Lord will come through the other side eventually, or those who wait on the Lord, it's going to be a struggle and it's going to be a battle. But man, if they can just hang on. No, it says those who are waiting on God, they're going to strengthen themselves. They're going to mount up on wings of eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint. They're going to be better when they come out of it than they were when they went into it. It's going to produce life change. It's going to set them up so in the next season, they can run and not faint, that they can mount up, that they have strength that they've never had before. Don't waste any season. Life is too short. If I can say anything, I can look back, over my life, and if I grieve anything, it's the years that I wasted the waiting. The years that it was like, man, if I would have started then, if I would have leaned in then, if I would have studied then, if I would have pushed off the excuses then, can you imagine where I would be now? Can you imagine what my life would look like now? And I know, you can't dwell there. You can't stay there. What I'm saying is you can use that as a guide to say, you know what? If my life will be in the same condition it is 5 years from now, if I keep making the same decisions I'm making now. If I want it to look different in the future, I have to make decisions now. Just move it in that direction. Like, what is my life in 5 years? I don't know how it's all going to get there. I see the vision. I don't know how it's all going to work, but I better start studying for that now. I better start leaning into that now. I better start preparing myself and my family and my finance. I better start figuring some of that out now. Why? Because if I can't get God to move it faster, then it's because he's looking at me and saying, I got to make the man before I make the ministry. I got to make the man before I make the business. I don't want you just to have the business. I want you to thrive and excel and be all that you can be. I don't want you just to be a husband or a wife. I want you to be a priest of your home. I want you to be able to lead and guide and direct your family. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that he's more concerned about who you are in the process than you just arriving. So if you're in the waiting, don't waste the waiting. Don't waste it. Lean into it. Say, God, what a part of this prayer that I'm praying can I actively get involved in right now? Can I actively start doing and making decisions to move forward now? I'm trusting you for the breakthrough. I'm trusting you to do what I can't do. Maybe I'm so in debt over my head and there's no way I can climb out of this. And that might be true. But listen, if you can save 50 cents, and before God, you've done everything you could do, and that's all you can save, then all right, God, I'm doing everything. It's not about the money. Do you understand that? It's not about the amount. It's not about, well, if I study, I still won't have the right degree. It's not about that. It's about before God saying, I will do everything that I can do. I will build the wall. It's impossible for me to build it in the time period like Nehemiah. Impossible. But I will give it every ounce of my effort. I will be involved in what I'm asking you to do. I will be like the woman with the issue of blood who was weak and tired and in her own, she had lost her own energy and strength, but she gave every ounce of what she had to press through that crowd. She wasn't just sitting on the sideline saying, well, if God wants to heal me, he knows where I am. He knows my name. No, she took every ounce of what she had to press through. And pretty much every Bible story, it comes on the back of somebody giving every... Look at, we don't talk about him much, but he climbed the sycamore tree. Zacchaeus, sorry, I had to sing the kid's song in my head. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. But think about even Zacchaeus. Many people were lined the streets to look at Jesus, but it was the one man who, in his short stature, this is no shade to any short people, but it's probably not the easiest thing for a short person to climb a tree. But Zacchaeus pushed through his shortcomings, no pun intended, to climb the tree to see Jesus. And it was that act of him doing everything he could in his human ability that attracted the attention of Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, I don't know who you are. I don't know anything about you, but I saw you put effort into this. I saw you gave it your all. And because you did, I'm coming to your house today. Like you think of when the prophet told the man, go dip yourself in the river 7 times, and he got upset because it was a dirty river. It wasn't about the river. And it wasn't even about the 7 times. It's not like that was the magic number. I mean, it is the perfect number in the Bible, but you know, it's not like it was the magic number. Well, that's not what it was about. What it was about was, will you be obedient to do everything in your power, everything in your effort to go, to dip yourself, to cleanse yourself? And it was in the obedience to that. Because why? Other people, Jesus just bit on them, just touched them, and they were just healed. And that's great, and we celebrate that. But more often than not, there's some type of activity attached to us. Like that man left the prophet still with leprosy, still unclean, walking to the river, still unclean, still waiting. It wasn't an instantaneous, like, do you understand what I'm saying? So he left the prophet without a miracle, but with a command to do what you can, what I'm telling you to do, do what is in your power to do, and God will make up the difference. What in your life today? And again, you can be excelling in one area and still waiting in another area. So it's not like, well, I'm in a waiting season, my whole life's on pause. It could be a waiting in healing and finance and relationships, in purpose, whatever. I mean, you can, but in the, whatever that waiting season is, whatever that waiting area is, I ask you today to get before God and say, Lord, I can recognize things that happened, you know, how I was raised, what people did to me, how I was whatever, rejected, and how people did me wrong. And that's why they stole from me. And that's why I'm here. And you can recognize that, but say, Father, I leave that at the table. I leave that. I leave that at the altar. I'm not going to dwell there anymore. I'm not going to be a victim any longer. You are on my side, God. You are for me and not against me. Now, Lord, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you for a turnaround in my finances or in my health or in my relationships or in my business. I'm going to ask you for peace. I'm going to ask you to take away this burden. I'm going to ask you to do that. But then I'm going to actively do whatever it is on my part. And I just felt like I heard the Lord say that some of us have been asking for peace in our life, and we've been asking for the anxiety to leave. But God is saying we've been unwilling to let go of some of the pressures that he's never called us to carry that are aiding to the anxiety in our life. You've taken on, Bible says he won't give us more than we can handle, but it doesn't mean you didn't take on more than you can handle. There are some adjustments that you might need to make in your life that God's saying, I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you to take on 5 jobs, and I didn't ask you to take on the financial burdens of your children. I didn't ask you to take on, you know, do you understand what? Sometimes we do stuff because we want to help people, and that's a great thing. But if God didn't ask us to do it, but then we find ourselves stressed out, full of anxiety and full of fear and overwhelmed, and we're like, God, where are you at? And God's saying, that's why I told you in the word, in all your ways, acknowledge me and he will direct your path. There's a perfect reason that he said, just acknowledge me in all your ways and I'll keep you in a right mind. I'll keep you in perfect peace. I'll keep you in perfect health. Just acknowledge me before you do stuff, right? And if we've gotten ourselves in some situations and God's saying, listen, I'll give you in perfect peace, but you got to cut some of this stuff out of your life. Got to have that conversation and say, listen, I can't support you anymore. I can't help you financially anymore. We got to cut this off here. I can't emotionally carry your burden. Why? Because it's causing me stress and it's bringing, you know, I know we are to carry each other's burdens, but sometimes people don't want you to just carry their burden. They just want to throw up their life all over you and have you fix it all and then them not take responsibility. Are you with me today? So they're never taking responsibility for themselves because they've got a circle of friends who just enable them and keep the wheels spinning, so to speak. And now you're stressed out and your relationships are in trouble because why? You're always there for that person. You're always just trying to fix that person. God said, listen, I'll keep you in perfect peace, but what is it that you have to do? You may have to cut out some of that toxic stuff. You may have to quit watching stuff on television that is causing fear and anxiety in your life. Like, you may not realize it, but watching murder and horror and all of that stuff in your life, it's opening doors. And you're saying, why can't I sleep at night? Why am I anxious? Because of the junk that you're putting in front of your eyes. That's getting into your heart and into your spirit. And it's no wonder now you're anxious and fearing a bad report. You've watched 87 murders on television this week. And it's like, well, I don't know why I'm just always worried that something bad's going to happen. If we could cue the, Law and Order, that little chime, you know, thing that they do right there, that would have been perfect. Why do I fear like something bad's going to happen? Because you've been binging Law and Order all week, and all you see is, and I understand that's a reality of life, and I'm not saying watching a Law and Order episode on its own, but I'm just saying if you're struggling in that area and you're just pause for a second and say, God, what is there something that I'm doing? He'll reveal it to you. He'll show you. And then you can either say, well, yeah, no, but that's one of my favorite shows. I'm not turning that off. All right. But then don't ask God to deliver you from anxiety, but you're not willing to put in what he's telling you to do. So I had this whole teaching on waiting on God, and I got to the opening. So that was that, literally the introduction. But I hope this blessed your life today, and it gave you some spiritual thoughts or food, if you will, to chew on, and spiritual thoughts to think. And, you know, we all, I don't care who you are, I don't care how seasoned you are in the Lord, we all have waiting seasons. And we all, until you leave this planet, God's working on something in your life. So I'm not preaching this saying, well, I've got this thing mastered. No, I'm preaching this saying, God's all speaking to me all through this. But these are one of the things that you and you alone, me and me alone, can make the decisions to turn it around. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for every person who's listening and watching today. And Lord, maybe we've been in a holding pattern in an area of our life, a area of our life. And Lord, we've been growing weary and we've been trying to figure out why it's not moving forward. And Lord, maybe you're speaking to us today that it's because there are some things that you're waiting on us to do, that you're waiting for us to deal with. You're waiting for us to leave on the altar. You're waiting for us to cast before you burdens, unforgiveness, grudges, whatever that is, Lord. And Father, and if we, you know, come before you and there's none of that stuff, but yet we're still not coming out of this holding pattern, then let us say, all right, we're going to invest in this season. We're going to better ourselves in this season. We're going to study. We're going to grow. We're going to strengthen ourselves. We're going to run and not be weary. We're going to do whatever we can so that when the door opens for us to walk out of this desert, walk out of this wilderness, that we are strengthened to possess the promised land that's ahead of us. Let us learn to never waste a season, never waste a holding pattern. Let us grow stronger. In Jesus' name, amen. Now remember, just ask him, acknowledge him in all your ways. Just ask him. If you're like, God, what do I need to do here? Just ask, he'll tell you, amen. Well, thanks again for being on with me. I'll try to finish this sermon up, or this teaching up, if you will, tomorrow, since I just got to the opening. But be blessed, have an amazing day. If you're in the Lancaster area and we've been in this heat wave, try to stay cool and have an amazing day with God. Be blessed.